What a great day it is to be in the house of the Lord. Let's give God praise for that new prayer. Our pastor would say, God is good, and all the time. Well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, who is our Christ, I pray, God, that you would take this flawed, undone piece of clay and do through me, oh God, what only you can take credit for. These are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. And we thank you that you are the God who is with us even now. So Holy Spirit, take charge as you have already. Permeate the atmosphere that each person will have an encounter with you today for the glory of your name. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And the people of God said amen. Amen. I want you to say these three. It's not really three words, but this is the crux of the message this morning. Jesus came. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Raiders football game, 49ers football game, Warriors game. Come on, halftime, they're winning. Jesus came.
Jesus came.
Jesus cures.
Jesus cures.
And Jesus cares.
Jesus cares.
People don't care how much you know until they see how much you care. Watch the screens.
So where does the middle class and hardworking class go when we're trying our best, but just because something situational happened, where do we go? I wish someone reached out, you know, and I believe money is a magnifier. It just reveals who you are, and I hope we can attract more people who have time and resources to give back.
This morning, our driver, Kevin, approached me and said that we need to help Bob with a pair of shoes. Now, the old shoes that you see there on the ground represent the shoes that Bob wore in. Nancy has been helping us in so many ways since he's been here. She came up with a pair of shoes that Bob has on right now. She walked in the door with a pair of sneakers and two pairs of socks. This is what we do.
That's right? What we do.
We see a need, we meet it, we try to exceed it, but the standard has been set. We just want to keep setting the standard of excellence and reaching out to our volunteers to say thank you so much.
Let's give God praise. We have a staff, resourceful staff. Troy Beloka is here this morning. Troy, stand, would you please? Troy is our operations manager, warehouse manager. Give Troy a great hand. Can't do it without you, man. And then I want to share with you this story because they just have an eagle eye of compassion for the people who come through to be served week in and week out. However, a person showed up about 3 or so months ago. And sometimes you see people, they just all look normal and like they're okay. However, in this particular situation, we had the opportunity to meet a person who had been unconscious, unresponsive for 24 hours, dead. Her daughter found her in her bedroom, convulsing, foaming at the mouth, and by the grace of God, got her to the right location. And when the doctors asked her children, what do you want us to do? Because here it was supposed to be her last breath on earth. And when she heard those words, something happened. Something miraculous happened. She opened her eyes, and by the grace of God, A year and a month later, she's here alive. Cindy Pham, stand, please. Come on. Come on. Come on, Cathedral. We believe in a God who heals. We believe in a God who raises the dead. We believe in a God who sustains. We believe in a God who is able to meet you at your point of need. God is able. He's available. Now, I know some of you are looking strange, but Jesus said in his word, you go heal the sick, raise the dead, you do what I've told you to do because I give you power, uncommon compassion to meet the needs of people in your community and in your house, right at home. Were it not for the grace of God, the love of God, we would have been doing her funeral. If you looked at the news the last couple of days, an 18-year-old baby was found dead from an overdose of fentanyl couldn't save her. I cannot tell you this, over this last year and a half, I've done at least 6 funerals of people who had died of fentanyl. One of them was a police officer. I was taken to the residence. I was taken upstairs where he breathed his last breath. We did this service over at Redemption Center. And I stand here before God to tell you the same power of God that was available then is available now. In fact, you are breathing resurrection power in your lungs right now because of the love of Almighty God. I believe it. I believe it. So when God says that he cares, we have to understand that we are surrounded by what has been termed poverty pockets. Here in Silicon Valley, there are people who are poor, they're broken, in spirit. We in Silicon Valley here are located in the richest county in California. Yet, 244,000 of 533,000 children, or more than 45% live in households below the standard of living. They're not just poor physically. People are poor relationally. People are poor emotionally. And when you consider all that, when you look at all that, here's what the Word of God says in Psalms 107, verse 20. The Bible says this: he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. If it were not for the Word of God, I would have destroyed myself, lost in my sin, broken, and it was the power of God, the love of God that found me just in time, resuscitated, not only resuscitated, but gave me life, and I've been running ever since. You heard the scripture that was read to you earlier. While we were still dead in our sins, Jesus died for us. He died so that you only have to die once, not twice. He sent his word and he healed them. In fact, Jesus came. That's the first part of what we want to talk about this morning. He came. When he came, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal, to preach, to deliver, to mend the brokenhearted. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And I tell you, the Spirit of God is in this room this morning. And I'm believing that before you walk out of this place, you will have an encounter with the grace of God. You will not walk out those doors the same way you came in. Let's give God praise for it. And in Luke 4, 20, 21, then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. I beg of you this morning, fix your eyes on Jesus, turn your eyes on Jesus, and I guarantee you, when you have a direct encounter with him, you will never be the same. His eyes are glowing with love for you, with forgiveness for you, with healing for you, with deliverance from you. All you have to do is look into the eyes of the one who loves you more than anybody else can. And when you sense that kind of love, you cannot help but fix your gaze on Jesus, who is the Christ. He sat down and he gave back the attendant the book. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 33 to 34, Jesus cast a demon out of a person who was in the synagogue that morning, and the person cried out with a loud voice saying, "Let us alone." You see, when demons possess a body, they don't want to let go. When wrong spirits possess a body, they don't want to let go. And when you understand that God has that kind of power, I don't care what you're facing, I don't care what the addiction is, I don't care what the distraction is, I don't care what the broken is, Jesus has the power to heal the broken hearts. Jesus has the power to restore. He has the power. In fact, in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, he says these words: "I saw Satan like lightning fall from heaven, and I give unto you this power, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what yesterday says. I don't care what your pain is trying to tell you. God is available. He is accessible. His power is available to you right now, today, the power of God. And he says, "My power is so available for you that nothing shall by any means hurt you." You have that power resident on the inside of you this morning. Let's give God praise for it. Jesus cared so much, he came. And when they cried out, "Have you come to torment us? Have you come to destroy us?" In Luke 9, 56, it says this: "For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." He's come to save you, your mama, your daddy, your brother, your in-laws, your outlaws, your enemies. He's come to save the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, would not perish, would not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came. Beloved, he came because he knew that we would be surrounded by people with tender hearts and tormented souls. Are you listening? That person who you may think about giving up on, I beg of you, take a step back and remember your time of lostness. Remember when you were at your darkest moment. Remember when the prognosticators and the doubters said that you would never make it back again, you wouldn't come back, it's over for you. No, no, no. Listen, beloved, when others count you out, it simply means that they don't know how to count. I'm going to say it again. When other people count you out, it simply means they don't know how to count. When they count you out, Jesus counts you in. He says, I died for you. I love you beyond what you've ever done. I love you like nobody else can. His love will pick you up and turn you around. Place your feet on solid ground. Put running in your feet. Put dancing in your step. He is the one who will give you what you need. That's the kind of God we serve. Jesus came. Jesus cures. Jesus cured a demoniac. I want you to watch this word now. This is not a made-up word. For those of you who went to school, I'm going to give you, and some of us who dropped out and went back, some of us who dropped out and they wouldn't let us back. Thank God, when they counted you out, Jesus counted you in. But Jesus cured this demoniac from what I want to term, watch the word, predaceous demons. Predaceous demons. Brother Wilson, what do you mean, predaceous? See, demons are predatory. Demons are not hanging around to have a party with you. They're hanging out to take you out. They're hanging out to mess up your mind. They're hanging out to take your body. They're hanging out to take your life. They're hanging out to make you walk around like somebody with no sense. You don't know what happened. Why? Because you're delirious, you're influenced, and you are oppressed by demonic forces. And everybody who's trying to help you, they're wondering, what can we do? This is what happened to this demoniac. He was so out of control, he ended up in the graveyard. The community couldn't do nothing for him. His parents couldn't do nothing for him. His loved ones couldn't do nothing for him. He ends up in a graveyard, tormented, tearing himself naked, full of what the Bible calls legions, demons. Nobody could handle him, and they were all afraid of him. Why? Because he had allowed some force to enter his mind, some lie that he believed. Listen, beloved, all the devil is trying to get you to do is believe one lie. If he gets you to believe one lie, he can mess you up before he dresses you up. He's not concerned about dressing you up. He's only concerned about messing you up. So I submit to you, beloved, don't believe the lie, because Jesus says every time the devil opens his mouth, he's lying. He's lying. He's lying. When he lies to you and tries to tell you you're not enough, you can never come back, your children are gone, it's all over. Beloved, don't you believe the lie? Because Jesus says, I have come that you might have life, that you might have life more abundantly. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Don't believe the liar. He's been lying from the beginning, and he'll lie till the end. Jesus came. Jesus cures. When he visited this graveyard, he showed up with the grace of God, with the power of God, and this demoniac was never the same. Read the story when you get some time. Jesus made three visits to a graveyard. We call it a dress-up word now. We call it cemetery. It sounds a little better, feels a little better. We don't like the word graveyard. But Jesus was not intimidated by the graveyard. He went to the graveyard to raise his friend Lazarus. If you have some friends and you think they're in the graveyard, they're lost, can't come back, listen, Jesus makes house calls. Jesus is not afraid to go anywhere. He walks the streets. In fact, he's walking these aisles this morning. I don't know what your need is. I don't know what you went through last week. I don't know what you went through this morning, but Jesus is here this morning to meet you at your point of need. He'll exceed your point of need. If you'll just reach out and touch him, he's walking down these aisles this morning. He brought you here this morning. He woke you up this morning. He started you on your way, and he says, I've got a plan for you. Jesus came. Jesus cures. When he cured this demoniac, you have to understand that Jesus not only raised his friend Lazarus, he came to rid this man from Gadara of what I call predacious demons, predatory demons. They show up more than one. And if they don't show up enough, they'll go and get their buddies. All to attempt to take from you what God has given you. And then the last time Jesus showed up at a graveyard, he showed up in a borrowed tomb. And here's what he did with death that's trying to destroy you. Death that tries to assure you. The Bible says the first place you find in the Bible, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah said it this, Jesus came to swallow up death. You'll see it in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8. You see, Jesus never gets bloated. He never gets too full. He can swallow up death. He can swallow up sickness. He can swallow up disease. He can swallow up depression. He can swallow up anxiety. He can swallow up brokenness. He can swallow up divorce. He can swallow up pain. He can swallow up your yesterday. He can swallow up all of your sin. In fact, the Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us. He took all of my sin from yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Every time I lied, every time I made a wrong turn, every time I failed, every time I couldn't get up on my own, he was right there and said, boy, get up again. I am the resurrection. I am the life. There's nothing that you have done that can separate you from the love of God Almighty. Jesus came. Jesus cures. And Jesus cares. I got to move towards home now. Beloved, when you understand the curing power of Jesus, listen to me very carefully. This is not on the screen. I'm going to give you this free. Listen to this poor preacher. Your sin is not fatal. Your life is not futile. And your death is not final. Yeah, that's, you're sneaking up on a clap right there. You don't know what to do because you're thinking, I'm going to say it one more time. I got to say it again. Your sin is not fatal. Sin cannot destroy you because Jesus destroyed your sin on a cross called Calvary. So now you can get up and enjoy your life. Your sin is not fatal. Your life is not futile. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And your death is not final. Beloved, listen to me. When death knocks on your door, like death knocked on Cindy's door, Jesus says, I came to cure and to get you away from one of two options. You see, when you breathe your last breath, there's going to be two options. Listen to me. Listen. Are you listening? If you're listening, just raise your right hand. Anybody right? Okay, now listen. There are two options. One is smoking, and the other is non-smoking. Somebody got it. One is smoking. I ain't talking about wisdom. I ain't talking about cools. I ain't talking about Bissett and Hedges. I ain't talking about Camel. I'm not, no. That's not what I'm talking about. Because there's going to come a time when you breathe your last breath, you don't want to end up in the smoking section because the Bible says it's an unquenchable fire. Jesus says, I came to rescue you from that. You don't have to worry about it because in Christ, your sin is not fatal. Your life is not futile. Your death is not final, because Jesus swallowed up death, and when he got done with death, he rolled up the napkin and laid it in the grave and said, I'll see you later. The dinner is over. Jesus came, Jesus cures, Jesus cares. Listen, beloved, he cares so much for you. He cares so much for your family. He cares so much that he was willing to lay down his life and take my sin and your sin and the sin of the whole world so that you would not have to bear it again. Now, you and I have a common enemy. The Bible calls him a thief. John 10:10 says this, the thief comes, the demons come, oppression comes, doubt comes, worry comes. John 10:10, look at it on the screen. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life, a quality of life, and have that life more abundantly. You have two options, smoking or non-smoking. The thief came, but Jesus came. Jesus came, Jesus cures, Jesus cares. He cares so much for you. He cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for you. So how do we extend this life, this uncommon compassion? How do we extend it? How do we apply it? I want to give you four life principles that are connected with uncommon, supernatural, compassionate care. Jesus cares. Here they are. You'll see them on the screen. You've got to employ these principles. Number one, examine yourself. You heard Dr. Wayne refer to it in the scripture. Examine yourself so that you don't get too depressed. You don't get too lonely. Examine yourself. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Examine yourself, not only that you are in the faith, but when you feel yourself getting too worried, too tired, too bothered, too angry, too lonely, it's time for a timeout. Don't just tell your kids timeout. You go take a timeout. I've had to take timeouts. Before I asked Aaron Irvin to take a timeout, I had to go take a timeout. Aaron and Irvin are Shelly's children. You'll get that on your way home. They're our children, okay? Examine yourself. And then secondly, empower yourself. I got them backed up, but go back to the first one. Empower yourself. You got to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. You need the power of God. You cannot live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. That's why many people are frustrated and they say, I quit, I give up, I went through church hurt, I went through this, I don't go to church no more, I don't pray no more, I don't read the Bible no more. Why? Because they got it confused, they got it mixed up, they started looking at the problem and the situation. The love of God is greater, the power of God is greater, the word of God is more powerful than whatever that situation is. There's nothing more powerful than the love of Almighty God. The only way you can live the Christian life is the Holy Spirit lives that life through you. You can't do it on your own. When you try to do it on your own, it's going to lead to frustration. Every day, be filled, the Bible says, keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Examine yourself. And then number three, you do that because you want to endure the hardship. Jesus says, consider him who endured the cross and despise the shame. He said in his word, you need the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can endure the hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Empower yourself, examine yourself so that you can endure. And then lastly, watch this one, number four. You've got to learn how to edify yourself. I said it to you a few weeks ago. I said, everybody in this room, everybody who's human, you have what I call an edification complex. Yes. That means on the inside of you is the power of God waiting for you to tap in so that you can build yourself up. The Bible says, it's real clear, David encouraged himself in the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. And then in Jude, the Bible says, building yourself up on your most holy faith. You got to build yourself up. Because sometimes when you look for homeboy and homegirl and sweetheart and your ride or die and all these people to cheer you up, you might not get it, beloved. You didn't pay them enough. You didn't hang out with them enough. And they're saying, I'm done. I'm leaving. I'm taking my marbles and I'm going home. Let them go. You build yourself up. And as you watch them go, you pray, Lord, may they have an encounter with you. Don't judge them. Don't condemn them. Don't throw them under the bus, because that should have been me under that bus. You pray for them. Edify. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. I've got to close. Ah, God. How do you close a message like this? Whew. My God. Jesus came. Jesus cares. Jesus cures. Jesus cures. Jesus came. Jesus cares. The Bible says this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You're not of the devil. You are of God. Come on. You are of God. You are born of God. You are loved of God. God is in you. God is with you. He says you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You have overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, because I defeated him at Calvary. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world system. There's nothing in the world can defeat you when you are in Christ. When you are in Christ. I didn't say in McDonald's. I said in Christ. I'm not talking about on the airplane. I'm talking about in Christ, so that your last breath can be your best breath. They thought it was going to be Cindy's last breath. Just over a year ago, God said no. We believe the miracle, but we trust in Jesus. Don't get it twisted now. Don't go chasing miracles. God still works miracles. Let him do the miracle. Believe the miracle, but trust in God. Because what if the miracle doesn't come? What if you don't get healed? Are you going to still love him? Are you going to still serve him? What if the answer doesn't come the way you want it to come? Are you going to still follow it? You have to watch it now. Because of John 6:66. Anybody remember Route 66? It's in your Bible. The Bible says some of them followed him no more. Why? Because they were not getting what they wanted. Are you listening? Here's my wrap this morning. My wife and I, we have two marvelous children. Aaron Carroll, Irvin Carl, they both graduated here at UPA. Dr. Wayne so graciously helped us with their purity ceremony some years ago. Irvin is somewhere in San Leandro. He wants to stay close to his mama. I don't know what that's all about, but that's, you have to ask her. Aaron said, no, I'm going down to San Diego. I'm getting away from all y'all. Aaron is down in San Diego. She sent me a text just yesterday. She said, Daddy, I love you so much. Thank you for how you took the time to disciple us at home. She says, I'll never forget. And she said this, if I had my phone, I'd show it to you. She said, God is still shining through you. So when the enemy thinks it's going to get too dark, no. Darkness cannot outdo the light. The light shines brighter in darker places. So this morning, I have the high honor, the humble privilege of holding in my hand our founding pastor's, our founding pastor's Bible. And our founding pastor who prayed that prayer, when you go over to the Reaching Out Center, you'll see the words uncommon compassion. It was his push that we demonstrate and show uncommon compassion. People who give up on people, people who are marginalized, people who are food insecure, people who are broken, people who have gone through divorce, people who the court system has given up on. He said, no, we're not giving up on nobody, because no soul is a lost cause when it comes to Jesus Christ. So here's what I want to do. The words to the song, put the lyrics up on the screen, would you please? No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one's ever been so kind as he. No one ever took my sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. Now, here's what I'd like to do to close this. My wife and I are believing that God would exceed and explode his plans in the life of our children. Some of you may have children who have gone astray. Some of you have children who may have taken drugs. Some of you may have lost a loved one to addiction. The list goes on. But God says, listen, I care so much. I care so much. I believe that if you and I would say to God, God, today, I want to sow a seed because I believe that you are still available to heal, to deliver, to set free, to care, to reach those who we feel like they've gotten out of our reach. So what I want to do, I want to, my wife is in Fort Lauderdale. Boy, I tell you, she gets more expensive as the years go by. Don't tell her I said that. But, Lord help. Woo, help me somebody. I'm sweating. All right. what I want to do, I want to sow a seed to our reaching out ministry. And I believe in Pastor Ken's vision. I believe in the leadership of our lead Pastor Ken Foreman. I believe in the leadership and the stewardship of his brother Kurt. I believe in this August staff, Dr. Wayne and all the rest who serve. And then all of our volunteers, they keep coming. Denise, are you here? Is she here? Denise, stand up. One of our major volunteers. All of them are major. Let's give Denise a hand. Stay there, Denise. Her sister is here with us. Volunteers, the children, they come. Yeah, stand up. I see you clapping. Stand up. Denise, yeah. And you know, I get them mixed up because they look too much alike. This is Denise and Diane. There's another Diane, Dr. Wayne. She's all right. All right, Denise and Diane. So what I want to do, I'm going to do what Pastor Kenny has done over the years. He would lay his Bible down, and he would take out some offering envelopes. And it's not meant to coerce anybody or not meant to try to make anybody do anything. But I want to be the first one. I want to sow a seed into reaching out because I'm believing that no matter what turn our children make, God will be there to rescue them. We are at a distance, but we're not disconnected. So I'm going to just lay my offering here, and I'm going to leave some offering envelopes right here on the floor. And if you believe that God is available, accessible, and ready to meet you at your point of need, as you hear the words to this song, listen to the voice of God. And if you're willing, I believe God will exceed your need as you come and say, God, I want to sow a seed. Somebody needs to be fed. Somebody needs to be healed. Let us pray the words that you see up on the screen. Now, this is the benediction for this morning. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and believing, with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, you go with God because God goes with you. Have a great day. We'll see you next week. Come on, let's give God praise as we walk out of this place.